This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
We are Dukes and Bell. We start off every day and every hour by saying, "Hey, man." We're live at Flowery Branch. While many of you are stuck in traffic, lay off the horn. Lay off the horn. We are here getting a chance to talk to Coach Raheem Morris. We talked to Mike Hughes today. He is opposite of A.J. Terrell and done a really good job here the first 3 weeks of the season. You'll hear what he has to say coming up in the 6 o'clock hour and what Raheem told us coming up in less than 15 minutes. So stay right there. But, Mike, as we get ready for the Saints, Zach Robinson spoke to the media today. He is our offensive coordinator.
What do you have to say?
Well, we are all curious about that 4th-and-1 call, right?
Bijan
after the game said it was quarterback Kirk Cousins who made that play call. Zach Robinson was asked about it today. Look, when you don't get anything, right? When you don't get the first down, you don't get to move the chains, you don't get the touchdown, it sucks. So here's what he said about that call, and then we'll let you hear what he said about Cousins as well as the lack of targets for Kyle Pitts. Here's Zach Robinson.
Yeah, that was it. You know, we'll keep the kind of schematics and everything in-house on it. You know, we felt collectively good about that play in that situation. And then, unfortunately, just didn't go our way.
Mike, who shot the gap? Bolton, right? Was it Bolton?
Yeah, I think Nick Bolton came rolling in, number 32 for
okay.
The Chiefs.
So
we had tight ends. We had more bodies on offense and defense on the edge, but no one accounted for the guy that shot through the gap.
Okay, so Zach right there is not throwing Tyler Algier under the bus. He missed the block. Algier should have been in that gap where Bolton makes right. The play. He picks him up. All of a sudden, there's a hole there for Bijan to run through. So when he says we're going to keep it in-house, he's not going to throw anybody on the bus.
Right.
But, guys, I'm telling you, if you go back and watch it, that's the block that's missed. When you miss a block, plays get blown up. And that's what happened. Now, what about Kirk Cousins? We asked Rob this. You're going to hear him. I said to Rod today, is there anything he can't do? And I'll let you hear what he had to say coming up in the interview. But as far as Cousins improving, where is he at according to Zach Robinson?
Yeah, I think you're continuing to build that. You know, there's certainly times where you see it, whether that's in training camp, OTAs, and you see him and Drake connect on a deep ball. And then the other night, it's that close. So, you know, the next time those guys get that opportunity, you're banking on them winning that rep. So they're continuing to gel. They're working out, you know, practice after practice, working on routes and continue to build that rapport. But nothing, you know, everything's about those game reps together. And so I think they'll just continue to grow.
Now, in his defense, we talked about this earlier. You'll hear it with Coach Rock coming up here in the strong arm story. When you're getting off the field after 3 and outs, you're not having enough volume, Carl, to get everybody the action that you are expecting, whether as a fan or as an offensive coordinator. But I still think, regardless, they've got to get Pitts. I mean, I'm not saying to tear up the playbook and make it all about Pitts, but he's a vital weapon. And certainly the Saints showed an inability to cover a tight end last week.
Well, Mike, if you watch that tape, and again, you don't run the same plays, but you mimic the action, guys.
Right. And you got to account for this guy who's not a wide receiver, not a tight end.
Yeah, you find ways to get him the ball. I totally agree. It's Dukes and Bell Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. This hour is brought to you by All Four Seasons Garage and Entry Doors. Speaking of Pitts, here is what our offensive coordinator said about the lack of targets.
Yeah, I think, It's hard to say. You know, coverage can dictate so many different things of where the football goes. Of course, you're wanting to get the ball in his hands. I thought that was a huge play the other night that obviously got us going when he caught that and got down to the one there before we scored. So he'll continue to get the ball in the flow of the offense as it goes. I know there were some opportunities, obviously, where he could have had more the other night too. So he's doing a great job. He played really fast the other night. I think the more that he can be detail-oriented, play as fast as he did, the ball's naturally just going to find him.
Yes, but you also have to call specific plays for him, don't you?
Yeah, I mean, look.
Don't you?
He's been around the league for a while. This is his first chance to be an offensive coordinator. He's just not going to give you what we want. As a fan, as a media member, you're not going to get it. So it's just a matter of, you know, again, give me more plays. You know, give me 10 more minutes of possession. I'll get you Kyle Pitts the ball.
For sure.
Can't have my quarterback throwing a bad pick, you know, or fumbling and getting us that third and 18. You know, that takes us out of what I'm trying to do here with this offense. I always thought there'd be a learning curve because he is a first-time coordinator. Now, whether that changes this week, I think the Saints look like world beaters, and all of a sudden Philly just punched them right in the mouth. So I'm not. I know we can win this game. I mean, just put you're not going to win this game if we get overwhelmed by another 10 minutes of time of possession and we're going three and out.
Yeah, we got to get this explosive offense, which has the potential to be more snaps. It's Dukes and Bell, guys. Last thing from our offensive coordinator, then we're going to let you hear from Raheem Morris as we talk to him exclusively every week right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. What's the next step for the offense according to our OC?
Yeah, I think it's everything. You know, it starts with me and the flow of the play calls and all those things that go into that that we have our hand in as coaches. And then it's just executing the plays that we should execute. You know, that's what we've talked about from the jump, is really kind of our energy that we play with, the edge we play with, and then the execution. And so those things all go hand in hand together. When you have all three of them going the right way, then you can definitely have some success. So we'll always focus on, you know, the plays are the plays. Obviously, there's going to be some schemed up things that we have, but then the staple plays that we do have, we got to execute, and we got to be on the screws and all the details at all times.
Got to execute.
Can't argue with that. Kirk Cousins was speaking with the media before Zach Robinson got up at the podium, and I think you and I were talking about this earlier. He said he was sick to his stomach walking off the field. He said Monday morning, Monday night, Tuesday morning, Tuesday night. And Kirk says all the opportunities that we had that we didn't capitalize on. I rewatched the game yesterday, and there were many. You know, and receivers, you know, early on we said, are the receivers getting separation like in that Steelers game?
Yeah.
Because of the rust factor. I think there's plays to be made. I mean, but you said it. Guys got to execute. I like Cousins. He says, I think our defense is playing winning football. I think we all agree with that.
It is.
Only thing missing right now is the sacks. Saints have 11 sacks. We're at the bottom. Only the Bucs have fewer sacks than us, which is not good. We only got three.
Yep.
And then Kirk Cousins, I think he gets it, and because he's been around Atlanta, even though, you know, living here is with his wife and family. But he says the Falcons-Saints rivalry compares it to the Skins and the Cowboys and the Vikings-Packers.
It is. And he was a part of that of course, back then, Redskins, Commanders, right. Cowboys rivalry. It is, man. The level of intensity is going to be amped up. And we're going to see how these guys respond after losing a close one to Kansas City. When we come back, though, Mike and I caught up with Coach. Raheem Morris sits down with us, and you'll hear what he had to say about that game. And also, what does he think about this Saints rivalry? Next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Sacks, Coach. We got to get some more sacks, baby.
We do.
Hey, here he is. Here is Coach Rob. What's up, boss?
Had a couple guys. It's hard to sack, man. You're exactly right.
We did.
You know, the first couple of games, got some tough sacks. We got a couple hits in this game. Got eight of them. They had 13. I think they had two sacks or one sack. I'm not sure. But we definitely got to get home so we can create some of these longer third downs or get off the field.
Let's talk about our third down situation, Coach. We know we're not great at it. I don't know if you've watched all these plays over the last 3 weeks and say specifically on third down. What do you see?
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age. Wisdom, experience, and knowledge. Just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain. All symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's join, MIDI.com.
See, what is it, execution? What is it that's holding us back from getting more third down conversions?
There's no one specific thing, right? Because you got to put it all in different buckets, right? There's something happening in third down that are happening in the red zone. And that's red zone execution. Some of them happen in these long yardage situations, which you don't want to be in. You know, the 12-plus, the 11-plus. those are not likely ones that you can attain. You can get them every once in a while, but you don't want to live in that world. So that becomes down to efficiency on first down. And then the ones that you want to get, like the ones at the end of the game, the short yardage, whether you're talking about 31 or 4th-and-1, those are the ones you got to have. And those are the moments you got to stand up and be your best version of yourself, and we haven't been right now.
Was it a byproduct of having to sub guys in, or you, that's not an excuse at the end, trying to get there?
No excuses. They won't ever make that one. That doesn't apply to anybody here.
What about the call, Coach? And before we get to that, it's Coach Raheem Morris, guys. It's Dukes and Bell, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. He's joining us as he does every week. We're getting ready for the Saints, and we'll certainly focus on those guys here in just a minute. I'm screaming, Rod, take the points! Can you take us through the process of, is it analytics? Is it feel for you? Like, because in that moment, did we know we were going to get the ball back at the end of the game? No, but damn, defense was playing well, and you felt good about it. But we don't, and you decide to go for it. The week before, we went for it, and I'm going, Rod, go for it. So talk us through this.
Pretty simple for me. You don't go in there and shadow box with the champ. You got to go knock him out. You can't expect the decision to win the game. We went there to win the football game. Came down to a half a yard. We got to get that done. You know, you don't make excuses about none of that stuff. You got the ball back twice with a chance to go up there and do what you got to do. Great job by the defense getting a 2-minute stop there, a 4-minute stop, however you want to look at it, getting the ball back. Giving us a position to get to it again, and we failed. And we got to be better.
I know that we've said on the radio yesterday, I'll say this, man, Coach is consistent. That 4-4 in Philadelphia, that kept that drive alive, kept moving. So I understand the logic behind it. I know you can't comment on the no call on the pass interference. We can. But there are moments that, and it's tough because they let the NFL had it up for review for 1 year that they took it off the board. And it just seems like if you can dance through the raindrops on this question, it just seems like it's a very big moment in the NFL these days, and you wish you had that ability to review it.
You know, it's an objective call, subject to what they do, and it is what it is. We take that however it comes, you know, and we don't complain about that. That's up to you guys to have fun with that type of stuff, not us. You got to deal with it. And obviously is a call that whatever everybody else wants in your fan base, but it is what it is.
We're talking with Coach here as we get ready for Saints Week. And you know what that means, Atlanta. We don't like them. They don't like us. It's going to be fun on Sunday. It's a division game. And, Coach, talk about this because you've been talking about this all offseason. You know, running this division, man, chasing down this division. And it's the quickest way to get to the playoffs. Talk to us about what you see in this Saints team so far.
You know, they have been very explosive throughout the first 3 games of the season. The first 2 games, I believe they scored more points than anybody. I think they're number 1 in points. So they've been very explosive. They got explosive players. We all knew about Kamara. We know about the 2 wideouts. They've been able to come in and establish the run. That creates their explosive plays, doing some of the things they do on offense. And they've been playing really good defense, which they've always been, and which they've always been ever done. They're led by Dennis Allen and Joe Woods and those guys. But they're special teams. You can't say enough about those guys either, right? They've created a bunch of plays. They've done a bunch of things, block and punch, doing all kinds of things with Rizzi. The returner is special. They got a good football team, and we got a lot of respect for them, but we don't like them, and there's no secret about that, and we got to go out there and get a win.
Found out today we're 55-55. It's dead even in this rivalry, which we think is most get more juice than anything, even more Bears-Packers, man.
That is the analytics I did not know.
So whoever wins this one, you're one up on those Saints. We did see Philadelphia really get after Derek Carr, and they really were talking about being behind schedule. They were much of that game. Can we do the same kind of thing?
You know, I like to see that. You know, I like to see us get out there and get out there a little bit. Like I see us be a little bit more aggressive. You know, have the ability to shoot our gun and take our chances and do some of those different things. But it is what it is, man. We got to get out there and play the game, and our guys got to do it more importantly. It's not about us sitting here talking about it.
Ra, from an individual standpoint, one of the things our listeners keep asking us, and I think it's a balancing act for Zach Robinson, our OC, the carries for Algier and what we're doing with Bijan. How do you think that balance is going? Do you expect that to continue the way it is? Will there be certain games? Will there be more or less? Because fans are asking us about that through the first 3 weeks.
You know, the balance is always going to be different. You got to get more plays accumulated just in all around, right? Mm-hmm. I believe Kansas City had doubled our plays or tripled our plays by the third quarter. We got to get more plays. And how do you do that? You got to win on third down. You got to convert when you can convert. You got to be efficient on first and second down. And you got to get your chance to get more plays, right? The balance that you had in Philly when it was – I forget exactly what it was, but I think it was 20 carries to 9 or 10 or whatever the case may be. is somewhere in the frame of what you want to be, but you got to find a way to get more plays
right.
and to be to get out there and establish more runs and be to get more touches.
It's Coach Ra, our weekly visit with Coach Raheem Morris, guys, inside the Ticketmaster Studios here. We talked about, you know, there's a learning curve. I mean, when you were back in the day when you were a young buck coming up in the league, Zach Robinson's no, you know, he's a younger guy, but he's still only his third game as an offensive coordinator because of you don't have as many plays and we're not converting sometimes behind schedule and down and distance. Do you feel there's a lot of things he's wanting to do he just doesn't have the ability to do just yet?
You know, you don't want to necessarily use that as an excuse either, right? You want to be able to go out there and accumulate with your guys some reps. And that's what we're doing right now. You got all the guys out there for the first time quarterback, first time play caller, a bunch of young guys, first time in the organization for the group that we have now that we're establishing. And you better do those things. They've been playing hard. Right now, we got to start playing well. And that's what it's got to be about, right? So, like, things that get better for us, I got a lot of confidence in it. I get a chance to see it. You guys get a chance to see glimpses of it, whether it's the two-minute drive at the end of the game versus Philly, well, as the opening drive versus Kansas City versus two of the better teams in the National Football League. We will get better, and I got a lot of confidence in my guys doing that.
Yeah, we've been preaching that, Raw. I mean, it's crazy. Yes, we're disappointed that we lost, but I feel good about where we're at as a team, and we've seen these flashes you're talking about. We said this all week. We got to put it together and, I think, execute a lot better. Coach, what do you think about what you've seen from Kyle Pitts? We know he was 100% going into camp. I don't know if the expectation for us is maybe more than it is for you guys, but how do you feel about him?
I think the same is to be said about everybody in our offense, right? We got such high expectations because of the people that we brought in, the people that were already here. And Kyle Pitts fits in that same mode, right? He showed us a small glimpse of it the night before with the big explosive on the play. I think it was a 50-yard pass. Took the guy, beat him on a one-on-one man coverage, got a great check to him, got it to him. Right. And he's able to make an explosive. We need more of that, right? You want more of that. Everybody wants more of that. But how do you get more? It goes back to being efficient on first down, converting on third down, giving people more opportunities for Tyler, Bijan, Pitts,
right.
Mooney, Drake London,
yeah,
all the guys that you can name. And the only way you do that is you go out there and get more snaps for your offense. But it's also a team game, right? So as well as you're playing on defense, some of the really good things, you got to get the ball back. You got to find a way to get off and win on your third downs. You got to get off as much as you can and as fast as you can, get those guys behind the chain so they have to play the game that we like to play.
Do you go right at a guy like Cam Jordan? I mean, do you go? I mean, we talked about this with T.J. Watt. At times we did, we didn't. But do you go right after an elite rusher?
You know, it's always times you got to have that in the game plan where you're going to go at really good football players and try to absolutely do stuff. You know? But you know, to sit here and call out Cam Jordan,
we're not going to do that.
Would not be smart by anybody, right? Mm-hmm. I think this guy's got more sacks on the Atlanta Falcons than anybody in the history of football. Mm-hmm. You know, I think Matt Ryan's jerseys are still in his house.
Yeah.
I mean, this guy is an unbelievable football player. Sat in my office as a rookie when I was in Tampa.
Right.
Got a chance to see him come out in the draft. Got a chance to see what he's done, what he's been, you know, and he hasn't changed much over the years. You know, gotten a little bit older, gotten a little bit wiser, and now he's got some bunch of young guys around that he's probably teaching and mentoring, showing them the right way, being a perfect onboarding person for that Saints organization, and just what a great human he has been throughout our game and throughout our community. Now, we got to go get his butt. But
yes, we do. Yes, right, we do.
It is what it is.
Yeah, yeah. All due respect. Yeah.
Right. And McGarry's okay? McGarry looks okay?
McGarry, we'll see. You know, like, it's obviously going to be, you know, a day-to-day thing with him. Mm-hmm. You know, he's not going to the IR. Really fired about that. Get a chance to get him back. We'll see how he feels. We're moving on from a day-to-day process. Obviously, we'll put the report out today and what he was. He was out, but you know, we'll see what he can do tomorrow, see what happens the next couple of days.
You feel good about the moves that have been made, and if you have to go to the guys that we've seen, whether it's Ryan or whomever it might be, because everybody's wondering about the depth of our O-line, you know, now after this game, how do you feel as a head coach?
You know, I'm really fired about the depth all around the board. Right? That's a part of not playing some of our rookies, right, because of the depth that we have. We got a bunch of guys here that's played a lot of football. Whether you're talking about Storm, you're talking about Noozle, you go to our D-line, man, you're talking about Grady Jarrett, you're talking about David, you're talking about, you know, 99, you're talking about all these guys that played all these snaps, Zach Harris, TQ, you know, a bunch of guys, and people are wondering why you can't get some of those rookies out there. That's actually a pretty good sign, right, that those guys can't get out there yet, but you know what, they're going to be out there soon enough just based off the history of our game and how this thing works.
Coach Ross with us here, guys, live at Falcons. A lot of good teams are 1-2, and we think we're one of them, and we're not blowing smoke because we keep it real here, but it just seems like we're this close. When you're watching like the 22 film and seeing everything, it just seems like we're just a few moments or a few executions away from getting to where we need to be. It seems like it's a process, and Kirk's getting better. We talked about Zach, but are there things, certain things that you say, we get one of these two or three of these, we got it?
Hey, we've lost 2-1 possession games, and we got to find a way to win those games. You know, we found a way to win one in Philly. We got to find a way to win all of them. We got to find a way to win as much as we can. And, you know, at the end of the day, nobody cares how you win. They just want to know that you won. And then we can get better in the process while we're winning. That would be the ideal situation for all of us. And that's what we want to go out there and be able to do.
By the way, Raheem's sponsor, this segment, should I say, is brought to you by the University of Texas MD Anderson Cancer Center. As we talk with Coach each and every week, Saints Sunday, guys. We get these guys, obviously, twice in the division. And, Coach, I wanted to ask you about Kirk Cousins. You know, we've been having this conversation. I know it's been ongoing for the last few weeks. Is there anything he can't do? Because for me, I want to say if he's on the field, he can play and there's nothing that he can't do. Is there anything he can't do?
I mean, I think he showed us everything he can do. Like, he never could run, so I've been very waiting for him to get the 15-yard scramble. They're going to be waiting for a while.
Wow. Right, right.
But I don't think he was doing that before. You know, he may give us a couple yards here or there, but, like, to say he can't do something right now, I just can't say that. You know? Right.
I know you got a jet real quick. Rook, Are we ever going to see him? Is he banged up, or is he just depth chart? There's
no
guys ahead of him?
No, he's not banged up.
Okay.
He's moving along fairly nicely.
That's that question.
So they're growing in their
spots. Pretty excited about a bunch of people that we haven't even got a chance to get on the field yet.
Okay. That sounds good. Coach, what's it going to take to get a dub against these Saints?
We got to go out, man, and play really with speed on offense. We got to be efficient on offense. We got to convert on third down. We got to guard on defense, man, and we got to find a way to stop this explosive offense from getting explosive plays. They got two wideouts that can be explosive. They got a running back that can be explosive. All kinds of weapons all over the place. And we got to go out there and rush this passer and David Carr. On teams, we got to go out there and find a way to get coverage units down there. They got a bunch of good returners. We've seen how explosive they are. They've always played well on teams. They've actually won games on teams in this National Football League, which is hard to do, and I've seen them do it.
Raheem Morris, good luck Sunday. Amen. We will certainly be cheering you guys on, and we appreciate it. Coach, thank you so much.
Thank you. Hey, man, by the way, Saints, we know our injuries, Carl, with our defensive line, offensive line. Offensive line is going to have some issues, certainly, with Caleb McGarry. It sounded like, according to Ra, he's going to go, right?
It did.
But meanwhile, down in New Orleans, DeMario Davis is out today with a hamstring. Alante Taylor, cornerback, got three sacks, is out. Cesar Ruiz with a knee, Kamara with hips, and they just put, you mentioned yesterday, McCoy, they're going to put on IR. They did today. Their center.
Yeah, that's a big deal, man. Hey, coming up, we're going to talk about the Braves. We have the latest on when these games are going to be played. I do not like it. We'll talk to Grant McCauley, but before we get to that, your chance to win Metallica tickets right now at 404-726-0929. M72 World Tour with Pantera and Suicidal Tendencies. Tickets on sale at Ticketmaster right now. The concert itself is June 3rd, 2025 at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. Caller number 12 is going to win those tickets right now just for listening to Dukes and Bell. Grant is here to go around the yard with us. We will not talk about a game because there won't be one tonight. So, Grant, let's start there with the rescheduling of these two games between the Braves and Mets and what it means for our team.
Well, it's going to mean a lot of different things, obviously, based on what we find out in the final weekend's worth of games. The Braves are planning to host the Kansas City Royals. Hopefully the weather moves out, the rain moves out by Friday, because if one of those games were to get postponed, I have no idea what they would do. So let's put that over to the side in a box that we don't ever want to open. But this doubleheader on Monday is, I feel like, highly likely to be played because it's going to have implications, I would imagine, for one or both of these clubs. But there are two games left in the head-to-head battle, and that obviously has to do with games in the standings and a potential tiebreaker, which I guess right now the Braves are up 6-5 in the season series, so they would hold the tiebreaker. But if there are two games left to go, wouldn't you think the Mets would want to play those games so that they would have a chance to have the tiebreaker as well? But right, as far as how we got here, I mean, there's just the game that was postponed. This was supposed to be a two-game series. The third game was tacked on thanks to a postponement earlier in the season. The Mets did not want to sacrifice a precious off day, nor did, I'm sure, the Braves in a lot of cases, but they had to do it several times this year and play this game much like the one they just made up against the Reds, for example, the Braves did, or the game that the Braves had to go back to Chicago and play the White Sox one more time to lose 1-0. I mean, there's just a lot of different scenarios that were in play, and it just didn't seem to line up for the Mets to want to do that. Thus, this became a three-game series. But Major League Baseball, more to the point of all of this, was aware that there was a hurricane that was with a path that could potentially affect this series and this game, and neither of these teams played a baseball game on Monday. And that would have been one way to be proactive about this. But we're talking right about Rob Manfred. We're talking about Major League Baseball's office. And unless it's ruining the uniforms by Nike or slapping stickers on the helmets for the postseason, I don't really know what else they do.
No, Grant, you basically, I mean, nothing to add there. You've touched on everything. I just think you know a storm's coming. And, yes, certainly they can take different tracks. But, I mean, it just – and because there's just no flexibility. We talked yesterday about some of the great moments in Major League Baseball history, the one-game playoff, Bucky Dent, Giants win the pennant, all that stuff. That was actually 2 out of 3. But it's just – you know, you got to shoehorn this thing in to get these extra TV money games in for the wild card. So let's focus now on the Diamondbacks. Do you feel the Diamondbacks are fading so much? They've got to play San Diego one more with the Giants. What do you know about the Royals? How tough are the Royals who are trying to get that big seed locked in too?
Well, the Royals were looking pretty good until about, 8 or 10 days ago, and they went into a losing streak. They finally snapped it yesterday with a 1-0 win over the Washington Nationals. It took, I believe, 10 innings for them. And that snapped either a 6 or 7 game slide for Kansas City. So, and one of those series was a sweep by the Detroit Tigers that allowed the Tigers to really step into this wild card picture and make things complicated for the Royals and for the Twins as well. But there's a little bit of separation in that wild card on the AL side, but these games are going to be incredibly important to Kansas City. So you figure if anything happens there, I mean, I guess you would have to make up and do a doubleheader on Saturday, do a doubleheader on Sunday, that kind of thing. But I don't think they want to be talking about that and then have to do the doubleheader on Monday. The whole thing just seems like it could be a very convoluted weekend. But, you know, the Kansas City Royals are a tough team. You know, they're a club that these games very much matter to them. The Padres, meanwhile, could really deal the Diamondbacks a blow by doing, and it would serve two different purposes, because if the Padres, who are red hot, by the way, are able to either sweep the Dodgers or win that series and then win out those final three games against the Diamondbacks, who they could deal a crippling playoff blow to, maybe the Padres find a way to win the National League West, which would just push the Dodgers into the wild card picture. Nobody's catching either of those teams, I don't believe, in this final five games. But putting that aside, Arizona basically has to win out from this point on. They can't afford to slip on a banana peel against the Giants again, and they're going to have to beat the Padres head-to-head if they want to reverse their fortunes, and those fortunes have been trending in the wrong direction for a while now.
It's Grant McCauley, guys. It's Dukes and Bell Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game. Tonight and tomorrow's Braves-Mets game postponed. That is the news of the day as we all kind of sit around and waited. And that's going to be made up on Monday. I want to talk to you about Michael Harris because, you know, we talked about what he meant to this team. He missed those 2 months with a hamstring. And, Grant, he's hitting, what, .486, 5 homers, 9 ribbies over his last 8 games? He's hot right now.
Yeah, no, he's red hot, and that's something that the Braves very much needed, was somebody to come up and start setting the tone at the top of the lineup again, because they've missed that this year, obviously. Ronald Acuna Jr. is not walking through that door, so they had to figure out somebody else to plug in there, and Harris has answered the call. Last 13 games, he's batting .417 with 7 homers, 13 runs knocked in, and 16 runs scored. He's also cut his strikeouts tremendously, and you might notice that during his current 8-game hitting streak, he's got 5 consecutive games of multiple hits, and 4 of those 5 are 3-hit games. I mean, he is absolutely as scalding hot as you can get, and he shouldn't have picked a better time for it, because with him at the top of the order, Ozzy Albies coming back into the fray, having Jorge Soler swinging the bat a lot better the past couple of weeks. We've talked a lot about Matt Olson. Marcell Ozuna is very quietly continuing to do what he's doing, because I feel like we talked about how he didn't quite look like himself, but somehow he's hitting higher now than he was at the start of the month, and this has allegedly been a down month for him. So it's incredible to see that you can finally get 5 hitters that could really make an impact here. But Michael Harris at the top, I think, is the guy that you really needed someone to catch absolute fire, and he's done it.
It's our man Grant McCauley, guys, as the Braves and the Mets are postponed. If it has to be played, it's a doubleheader on the day off, and there's only 1 day off left, and that's next Monday. He joins us here on the WaitFor.com hotline. Spencer Schwellenbach was great, other than a walk to Alonso and a home run that was an opposite field job. And I thought he showed poise. It was a big playoff-type moment he delivered.
Yeah, he really did. And I felt like, again, we saw the display of this kid, the poise that he has on the mound, that Brian Snitker called it the mound presence. And that was a conversation that dates back, gosh, going on over 3 months now, because he's just continued to display that. But the efficiency with which he works his way through a lineup, 7 innings of 1-run ball on 87 pitches. Luis Severino left after 4 innings and 89 pitches. So just let you know what happens when you are executing your game plan at a very high level. And Spencer Schwellenbach has been doing that time and time again for the Braves. I feel like we've gotten into a lot of different scenarios and said, all right, well, this looks like the biggest start of this young man's career. And last night was just the latest example of that, and he delivered big time. So I feel like, again, as we look into the, you know, not just the future for the Braves beyond 2024, but trying to forecast what the postseason rotation could look like, you're going to have a pretty compelling argument about Spencer Schwellenbach getting some still more important innings for this Braves club if they're able to push this thing into October and get on a run.
All right, Grant. Frustrated, but we got to deal with it. We will talk to you. We know there's no game tomorrow, so I don't think we'll be talking tomorrow. But Friday, we will get a chance to visit with you as we get ready for hopefully, you know, this last few games here, and we'll see what happens on Monday, man. But yeah, just I think this screws us. That's just me speaking more than it does them.
Yeah, it's not great for either team, but I think everybody collectively is not going to be enjoying themselves on Monday if this doubleheader does come to pass.
And Grant, I think we covered this a little bit yesterday, but do we know if the Brewers are going to rest people?
Not yet, but I feel like those games, I mean, at this point, if the Brewers are locked in to being the third best record in the National League, and thus, you know, they can't do anything about getting home field advantage or getting any kind of significant rest, then I think that they probably would. But I don't think, just based on the integrity of the schedule and so on and so forth, that they're just going to bench everyone. You can't really do that anymore because there's no 40-man roster to lean on where you just send out a bunch of minor leaguers. They're going to have to play some regulars. It would probably be the pitching, if anything.
And do the Padres have any vibe one way or other about who they want to play? Because right now they would play the Mets one way or the other, and then the winner of that plays the Dodgers, if I read it correctly. So I guess Padres will the Diamondbacks will get the Padres' best punch?
Yeah, I think they will, but it's also going to depend on it. I'm sure it's not going to hurt the Padres' feelings if they're able to roll in and sweep the Dodgers and really make this thing an absolute chaos theory throughout the course of the weekend as well. So, again, the tentacles of all of this is fascinating, and it's wrapped through just about every series.
All right, Grant, man, enjoy a day off.
I'll try.
Stay dry.
We'll talk to you Friday, brother.
Take care, guys.
All right, man. It's Dukes and Bell. I don't like it. There's nothing we can do about it. I just feel like they blew this, and I'm talking about the decision-making process. All right, Mike, we've got more to get to. We're live at Flowery Branch, guys. This hour brought to you by All Four Seasons Garage and Entry Doors. We will recap what's going on. This college story at UNLV just got even more interesting.
Yes.
All right, if you have not heard, stay there. We're going to fill you in on that. Dogs getting ready to head to Alabama. We'll let you hear from Kirby Smart. Also, our OC spoke today. And our conversation with Mike Hughes. It's all on the way on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.